Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and with me in Studio 3 is Barbara Moran, editor of Earthwild, WBUR's environmental team, for the first of what we hope is going to be a regular check-in. Barbara, welcome.
Hi, Tiziana.
Hi there. And you're bringing some news that really surprised me. There is coral off the waters of New England.
Right. Who knew, right?
I did not know.
Nobody knows this. It's an amazing story. I love this story. So when I heard about this coral, I started asking around about it, and I talked to one of the scientists who studies it. Her name's Randy Rosian. She works at BU. And I want to play you what she said to me because it's hilarious. So this coral is commonly called the Northern Star Coral. And when I asked her about it, she calls it the scientific name Estrangia, which is also funny because it's like a strange coral. But here's what Randy said.
When we started working on this coral, and still, although less so now, people would be like, what? A strange of what? A strange of who? What are you saying? There's a coral in New England?
So tell me a bit about this Northern Star Coral. It's a nice name. What does it look like?
Well, I guess it depends who you ask. To me, it's kind of ugly, right? So if you out of the water, it looks like basically like white slime on a rock.
Okay? Gorgeous.
In the water, it looks like a small anemone.
Anemone.
Looks like one of those things with little fingers. And it's usually yellow or brown or white. I should also say that scientists who work on it do not agree with me about my assessment of its looks.
About the aesthetics.
Yeah, exactly. I spoke with Cody Sharp, who studies this coral at her lab at Roger Williams, about her love for the coral. And here's what she said about it.
I would say it's extremely photogenic. Not at first. When you look at it, it's just what looks like sort of a tiny little rock. But if you give it a minute and you look up close, you can actually see a lot of fine detail. And there's a beautiful animal, actually tons of beautiful animals on a single colony. And so maybe I would say its most redeeming feature is that it holds a lot of secrets, and it's sort of a quiet hidden gem.
Okay, well, that makes it sound very cool.
Yes.
And we will get into those secrets, but first, on the color. This coral is white. I thought that was the same thing as being bleached, which is bad.
Exactly right. So that is the great thing, or one of the great things about this coral, right? So corals live with little organisms in them. And what these little organisms do is they make sugar and they feed that to the coral in exchange for a place to live. And these little organisms are called symbionts, right? And if the water gets too hot for too long, the symbionts get up and leave, right? And the symbionts are what give corals all of their brilliant colors. When the symbionts leave, the corals look white, or what they say, bleached, okay? So I learned all that for the story, too. So the great thing about the Northern Star, this is amazing, is that it can survive bleached. Like, if the symbionts leave, it can survive. And sometimes it looks bleached, but it's totally healthy. And nobody understands totally why. They know that this Northern Star can feed itself in the water a little bit, but that's not the whole story. And nobody knows the whole story about how it's able to survive bleaching.
Okay, but to this point of survival, I was so surprised to hear about this coral because I didn't think they could grow this far north. I assumed it was too cold.
I know, that's the other amazing thing about this coral. I love this coral. It's like the toughest coral ever. So it can survive. It has this huge range all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and as far north as Buzzards Bay. And that's what really differentiates it from tropical corals. Most tropical corals can only survive in this very narrow temperature range. But our coral, our tough little New England coral, can handle anything that New England throws at it. They sort of cold winters and the hot summers, and it can totally take it. Randy Rosian, that coral scientist at BU, here's what she said about it.
So just like us, it has to handle cold winters and hot summers. It has to handle shifts in what the ocean does during those seasons, including changes in nutrients. We know that it goes quiescent in the winter, actually. It kind of gets dormant and shuts down for a little while. But it hunkers down just like we do, right? But it can handle so much because it's of where it lives.
That is like us in the winter. That is
except
scared.
I eat all winter,
there
right?
There you go. Fair enough. So why are scientists taking a closer look at the Northern Star right now?
Yeah. So as you know, coral reefs, tropical coral reefs, the ones that most people think about when they think about coral reefs, these beautiful reefs like the Great Barrier Reef that are all these different colors and these huge ecosystems, they are in big danger from climate change. There was a big study from the UN that came out last year and said that if the Earth warms by 2 degrees Celsius, virtually all of these tropical reefs are going to die. Wow. And it's already bleaching a lot. So they're in a lot of danger. So there's scientists all over the world sort of looking at different ways to help these tropical reefs survive or bring them back from bleaching or stress. And that's what these guys are doing in New England.
So how could our Northern Star coral help with that?
Well, one of the cool things we talked about this coral being able to hunker down in the winter and sort of come back in the spring, Cody Sharp, the scientist at Roger Williams, says they want to really look at that. And that may help them figure out how to help tropical corals bounce back. And here's how she described it.
We do think of this emergence from the wintertime to the spring here in Rhode Island as sort of analogous to recovery from bleaching or distress in the summertime in the tropics. And what we want to do is learn how these corals do it naturally up here in the hopes that there may be some kind of tools or some kind of management strategies that we can transfer to helping tropical corals recover from these really severe sustained warming events that they're now facing.
Okay, so how far along are they in that? What's the process look like? And, you know, we talked about secrets in these coral. How do you get coral to reveal their secrets?
Right, you have to be a coral whisperer. Yes. So, yes, it is a lot of work. And it's really great to think that our tough little coral might help these tropical reefs. So I went out for a day with Cody Sharp down in Rhode Island, and they dove for coral, and I watched the whole process. So they dive for this coral, they bring it up, and then they get out and they clean it up and they rush it back to the lab to get it back in time for it to spawn. Because sometimes corals spawn under stress, so they have to get it back to the lab before it spawns. So once they get it back, what she's trying to do is raise these coral from babies all the way to adulthood. And this has been done with some tropical corals, but it's never really been done with this coral. So I asked her, because it's really a ton of work to raise these corals from babies to adults. And I asked her, like, why bother, right? Why not just look at these adults? Why bother, you know, being a mom and having to raise all these babies? And here's what she said to me.
It is a lot of extra work to get gametes and to raise coral babies, but it's so worth it because in these earliest life stages, they are in some ways at their least complicated.
And because of that, she says you can really figure out how they work.
Getting these earliest life stages tells us a lot about when they first acquire the beneficial microbes that keep them alive and that we think are really important for their survival in the ecosystem.
So there's a lot of really basic stuff that scientists still don't understand about the biology of this coral. Things about their metabolism, how they connect with those helpful microbes that help feed them. And Cody Sharp said having a whole family of little ones will really help the research move forward.
All right. Now, Barb, in New England, we're seeing our waters change because of climate change. An analysis of federal ocean data by the independent research nonprofit Climate Central found that waters off the coast of New England have warmed up more than any other coastal areas in the United States, which is stunning. That's up to 3 degrees Fahrenheit since 1901. So I guess are scientists worried at all about the impacts of that on this Northern Star coral?
Yeah, that's a great question. This Northern Star coral has a very wide temperature range, and it's not endangered now. In fact, it's labeled as like least endangered species. But I asked Cody Sharp, the scientist, about whether they worry about it going forward. And she says, as far as I know, it has a pretty high upper temperature range, but they're not sure what will happen to it if the waters get warmer and warmer and warmer. So it's fine for now, but they're keeping an eye on it.
That's Barbara Moran, editor of Earthwhile, WBUR's environmental team. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.